Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, a special Raw and SmackDown review edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing Raw and SmackDown as well as the AEW announcement that happened over the last couple of days at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can always, of course, hit us up in the chat room and take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, obviously, Raw and SmackDown taped again so that the wrestlers and workers could spend the New Year's with their family. Nothing wrong with that. Except that the timing, of course, of the WWE's big announcement that they are going to change and we're going to see huge change was a very ill-timed, because technically speaking, you have seen six episodes of Raw and SmackDown. And really, it was in the course of maybe 10 days or 12 days, because it was all taped. The Christmas episodes were taped just a day after. And of course, SmackDown and Raw were taped again this week. So you've seen these six episodes, and they've really had very little time to book them. It's not like they're on their regular schedule. Thought they'd have just waited till the beginning of the year to make this announcement. The reason they didn't is because they knew another announcement was coming. Now, that sounds like, oh, well, that's just speculation. But explain to me then, why a company that knows we are going to be taping episodes for the next couple of weeks would make such an announcement prior to all those tapings? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. You'd say, well, we'll start fresh at the beginning of the year, new shows, you know, and we'll go from there. No, they pushed that button real quick, didn't they? And that's the only thing that I can think of as an excuse of why. Because this company really didn't have the ability, or you wouldn't have thought they would have had the ability to make the changes that quick. So what it would appear to the general public is, you promised change, and we have watched for two straight weeks and not seen all that much change. Well, that's because these shows were all taped within the span of 10 days. But to be honest, we have seen some change, haven't we? And normally, that would be a positive thing. I mean, normally you would say as a fan, listen, they're living up to their word. They said we were going to see fresh matches. We're seeing some. They said we were going to see the bench used a little bit more. We're seeing that. They said we're going to have longer matches and less of what we don't want and more of what we want. And we're starting to see that. And, of course, those things should be all positives. And, I mean, listen, you can call me a pessimist if you want. But I find this a little annoying, and I'll tell you why I find it annoying. Because they had no time to change. So in other words, if you are looking for true change, and you say to yourself, I don't know, man, we got to change. Things aren't working the way we have them. It's going to be a slow, steady change. That's the only way possible. It's not, you know, it's like the guy who comes home from, you know, and he doesn't never pays much attention to his wife, and he's always out with his friends, and he never helps around the house, and he doesn't do anything, and their relationship's going downhill. He says, no, I'll change. And then instantly he's doing the dishes. Instantly he's taking her out, and the lady says, yeah, I know, how long is this going to last? And if you knew you should be doing all these things from the beginning, why didn't you? Because if you really thought what you were doing was right, it would take you a while to change, because you'd say, I got to get used to this. This doesn't feel normal to me. This doesn't feel like the right path. Well, the WWE turned it around on a dime, didn't they? Which means they knew damn well what the right path was, and they had no intention of giving it to you. They knew what you wanted and said, tough. A leopard doesn't change its stripes that quickly. So when I see change happen this rapidly, I say to myself, and add to the fact that these shows were all taped, so it's even more rapidly than you think, I say to myself, there was never any doubt they knew. From the very beginning, they weren't giving you what they wanted. what you wanted. Otherwise, they could not change that quickly. Also, I'm concerned if this change is going to last, because much like the guy who helps with the supper dishes and takes his wife out and brings her flowers, that usually lasts, oh, I don't know, a month or so, and then you're right back to shooting pool with the boys, and, you know, I'll be home late. So we'll see what happens. But thus far, the WWE has changed a bit. They've given us some fresh matches. They're making better use of guys they haven't used in a while. And we're beginning to see some positive signs. Again, you know, it's good, but it does make me wonder, Mike, if you knew this from the very beginning, and you must have, you can't change that quickly, what took you so long?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we've been talking about the changes that they should make for how long now on this show? I mean,
long time.
I mean, very long time, and that's the thing. I mean, and you can't convince me that their announcement, the timing of that announcement, them knowing full good and well the timing of the announcement was time before the announcement by AEW. You can't tell me that's a coincidence, you know?
No, you can't tell me that's a coincidence either, because there was no reason not to wait till the beginning of the year and say, 2019, we're going to make a fresh start with the fans. We got some tape shows coming up, so we can't promise too much, you know, change in these tape shows, but you just wait. After the beginning of the year, you're going to see a big change in WWE. No, they didn't do that. They pushed the panic button instantaneously. So what we get for the last couple of weeks are taped Raws and SmackDowns, and neither one of them have been bad. Usually around this time of year, these are throwaway shows. These are shows that you say, well, you know, not many people are watching. We're not going to try that hard. And this year, I would say, it appears the WWE has tried a little bit harder. We had Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre start the show in a cage. It was a good match. I thought it did a lot to help Drew McIntyre's heel persona. If anything, I think the WWE has a perspective problem in that there's not many fresh matches you can make where the outcome is in question. That's their fault for not building people up in certain ways. So you're left with Drew McIntyre is against Dolph Ziggler in a cage, and you know damn well Drew McIntyre's winning. On SmackDown, SmackDown, you've got a battle for the top contenders for the belt, and you're pretty damn sure it's AJ Styles is going to win. Certainly, it's not going to be Randy Orton. Certainly, it's not going to be Samoa Joe that's going to go against Daniel Bryan as a heel. And you got Dean Ambrose, and he's going to go against Apollo Crews, and you're pretty damn sure where that's going. So you have a perspective problem that way. You can use these guys, and it's great that you are. But at the same time, you're not fooling fans. So the fans, because you haven't used these guys properly, fans are saying, well, Apollo Crews has no chance. Do I really need to watch Dean Ambrose versus Apollo Crews? If I do, I'm only watching it to see if Seth Rollins makes a run in, because I already know the outcome. So, yeah, I mean, to an extent, the WWE has a problem with that, and they're going to have to fix that. That's one thing they're definitely going to have to fix. Another thing they're going to have to fix, if they really want to embrace this change, is when someone is hot, they have to be able to keep them hot. In other words, you can't introduce someone like a Drew McIntyre, let's say, and for the first 2 weeks he's hot, and people are like, man, can't wait to see what they're going to do with him, and then all of a sudden he's old hat, he's boring. Wrestlers don't get boring that quick unless you're writing crap for them that they're not getting over with the fans. And the WWE is infamous for doing that. They introduce a guy like Samoa Joe and you say, man, the sky's the limit. And all of a sudden you're like, yawn, I don't care about Samoa Joe. They introduce a guy like Bobby Lashley and you're like, this is going to be something big. And oh, yeah, I guess it's not. And, you know, this is the problem. You can introduce all the new faces you want. If you can't keep them hot once they get hot, then you got a problem. Look how long you kept Stone Cold Steve Austin hot. Look how long you kept The Rock hot. Look how long you kept The Undertaker and all these people hot. You wrote for them to keep them hot. If you can't do that anymore, then you got a problem because these people start to fade. And the fans are like, eh, it's old hat now. You're going to find this is going to happen with Becky Lynch if you keep this up. Because what used to be cool, her coming out and being edgy, is now it's feeling forced. Now we're really feeling forced here. And if you keep doing it, where it keeps feeling forced, the fans are going to turn the opposite way. And they're going to say, okay, now you're just bullshitting us. This doesn't feel like really Becky Lynch. This feels like someone scripting, I'm a tough guy, I don't like anybody. You have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. And while some of what Becky Lynch did on SmackDown with John Cena was good, some of it felt very forced. There's no reason for her to confront John Cena. She's not going to fight him. What you going to do? Oh, let's you and me wrestle. That's not going to happen. So what's the point? Well, the point would have been for her to come out and say, I'm glad you're back. But I do want you to understand that we got a new era here now in the WWE. They've announced it. I don't know if you heard it because you were busy in Hollywood. But part of that new era is letting go of the past. And that means that we won't be needing to call John Cena back to save ratings. We don't need to be calling people back to save ratings. We're going to do it with the people we got. I mean, at least make it feel real. For her to say, oh, well, Nikki Bella won't be the only person who drops you. What are you talking about? You're going to drop John Cena. You know, come on, please. That's trying way too hard. Trying way too hard. And I'm telling you, the fans are not going to like that. So anyway, we go over to Raw and we get a couple of decent matches, okay? We get the steel cage match, which was well fought. If it did anything, it helped Drew McIntyre. It certainly did not help Dolph Ziggler. Made Dolph look tough. I mean, he kept saying, come on, is that all you got and everything? But at the end of the day, Dolph Ziggler stays where he is or even maybe drops a few pegs and becomes the guy who is going to be the mid-carder. Drew McIntyre gets a few, you know, feathers in his cap, so to speak, for being a good heel. That's fine. I noticed Dean Ambrose is sliding back into the old Dean Ambrose. He's watching the fight to determine who's going to fight him, and he's flinching and making motions, and when he's doing his Seth Rollins is not going to get his way type thing. He's the old Dean Ambrose. And I'm saying to myself, better watch yourself. Better watch yourself or you're going to fall right back into that category of the fans are going to like you. Fans are going to find you irreverent and funny. And Mike, they've got to be very careful about that.
Yeah. Dean Ambrose and Becky Lynch are the two people they have to be most careful with right now. I mean, you don't want her, just like you don't want Dean Ambrose to fall into the back into the fact of, well, I'm going to sit at ringside and eat popcorn and watch the matches and all that stuff.
Right.
You don't want Becky Lynch to fall back into the, well, I'm straight fire and I'm steampunk and all that stuff, you know. You
right,
don't want
right.
her to do that. You want her to stay hot. And I mean, we may get to this eventually, but we've been waiting for, they've been saying we have something new for Bray Wyatt, and we've been waiting for Bray Wyatt for a while now. Where is he?
Yeah, look, that's a very good question. Let's take them one step at a time. When you want to make a successful heel, and Dean Ambrose wants to be a successful heel, you've got to eliminate everything that made him charismatic. What made Dean Ambrose charismatic is his weird attitudes, his facial expressions, his body language, his irreverent sense of humor. That's all got to go. For a while it went, and now I saw it back there. And I saw it back on Monday night where Dean Ambrose is flinching when Apollo Crews does his flips, and he's, oh, look out. You don't want that out of Dean Ambrose. You know, you want a Dean Ambrose who's just staring at that screen saying none of these guys are worthy. I would have loved to seen Dean Ambrose tell the truth and say, why in the hell are the Ascension in this tournament? Why in the hell are the B team in this tournament? Is this what you think of this belt? That you're going to have these losers, these third-rate tag teamers, these bench players compete for my belt? That's what you think of this belt? That way, someone could have said, well, this is the new era. These guys are going to get a chance to show what they can do. Then if Dean Ambrose says none of these guys are worthy at all, then you're rooting for Apollo Crews to at least show him, well, I am worthy. I almost beat you, you know. At this rate, Dean Ambrose is looking at him like, oh, these guys are excellent. It's a mistake. Guy Lynch, the chip on your shoulder has to be there for a reason. If it's only there because you want it to be there, you start to become not likable. You understand what I mean? In other words, when she comes out and says things to Charlotte, you're like, she's right. Everything she said about Charlotte was right. She's right about Ronda Rousey. Everything she said about Ronda Rousey's right. But when she starts to come out and says, I'll knock John Cena down, well, that's just dumb. That's just dumb. And when it becomes dumb, and you just got a chip on your shoulder because I think I'm the man, it's going to wear thin. And you don't want Becky Lynch to wear it thin. You got to back her up a little bit. You've got to take this very slow and say, look, the reason Becky Lynch is popular is because she doesn't back down to anybody. She tells it like it is, and that's fine. But you can't make outrageously stupid claims. You can't go out there and just be, let me go out there and be a bitch because I want to be a bitch. Let me go out there and be, mean and obnoxious because I want to be mean and obnoxious. I want to show the people I'm irreverent. I want to be like Stone Cold. Stone Cold did not do that. Everything that they planned for Stone Cold Steve Austin was, yep, good. He's telling this person like it is. Now, I know they think John Cena was going to get booed, and I get it. I get her coming out there saying to John Cena, I'm going to replace you on the poster. That's a good line. For 16 years, you've been on the poster. Now it's my turn. That's a good line. It's a terrible line when you start really honestly saying to yourself, if you get in my way, I'll knock you down. What are you talking about? A 16-time world champion, and he's a man, and he's 100 pounds heavier than you. And at some point, you just got to say, that's not a good line. Because now that just looks like, puffing. I'm puffing just a puff. What, are you going to come out there with Braun Strowman and say the same thing? Out of my way, or I'll knock you down. Come on, can't do that. There has to be some basis, in fact, for what she's saying. And that's why the fans support her, because she tells it flat out like it is. But when she starts saying things that aren't true or are just stupid, then fans are going to say, okay, that's just stupid. I mean, we wanted to come out there and say, look, Asuka, you got fat in NXT. Where there were a lot of girls who were green. Well, we're not green up here anymore. And some of the girls that you fought down there and you fed off of got a lot better. And everybody here is ready for Asuka now, but nobody more than me. That's fine. To say, oh, you're garbage, I'll just knock you down. Well, no. Obviously, she's not garbage, and you're not going to just knock her down. So why say it? Because it doesn't help you. And it doesn't endear you to the fans, and it doesn't make you irreverent and tough. It just makes you stupid. So you got to be awful careful with Becky Lynch, and you got to be awful careful with Dean Ambrose. Those are two people you got to be very careful with. And there's two more you have to be careful with. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. Now, they're trying to pull the Seth Rollins deal almost like they're pulling the AJ Styles deal. Triple H says, I want to see the real Seth Rollins, who's merciless and this, that, and the other thing. Okay, well, but you still want him to be a face. So at some point, here's what we don't want. We don't want the McMahons to come back, Triple H counting as the McMahons. We don't want the McMahons to come back and say, only we could bring this out of them, the guys that you wanted to see. AJ was just being complacent and lazy before Vince McMahon showed up. No, he wasn't. He was putting on the best matches in the whole goddamn federation. So, please. Seth Rollins wasn't giving you his all before Triple H stepped in. Yes, he was. He was probably one of the better wrestlers on Raw. So please don't give us this. Please don't give us the McMahons have brought out the talent you want to see. We're not handcuffing them anymore. Please. Stop it already. Stephanie does not have to be the savior of the women's division. Triple H does not have to be the savior of Seth Rollins and Raw. And Vince McMahon does not have to be the savior of SmackDown. These guys are qualified athletes. Just let them be athletes. So Raw in general, I mean, featured two matches that I thought were good feature matches, Todd, but at the same time, the outcomes were never in question.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's with the match with Ziggler and McIntyre was a good match. And like you said, they got to watch themselves with certain superstars like Styles, Rollins, Ambrose, and Lynch there. And like you said, they got to back off on that a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, look, she has to come out with a chip on her shoulder. That's the whole point. But there's a fine line, Mike, between having that chip on your shoulder because somebody put it there and just having that chip on your shoulder because that's the way you are.
Yes. Yes, that's you're absolutely right on that. And look, here's something else to think about. I don't fault Becky Lynch for saying the lines they gave her to say. It's the writers who wrote that line, and I don't know who's in her ear or whatever, but it's them telling her to say the line. I don't know if she has total control to change a line, even if she thinks it's a stupid line, even if she thinks it's a stupid line. And you can't tell me that in her mind that line runs through her mind and she doesn't think that this is a stupid line, but I got to say it anyway because it's written for me and they want me to say it or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I doubt she has much creative control at this stage. Not enough anyway to just say I'm not saying that line, but I mean John Cena does. And John Cena should have said, you know what, that's a dumb line. That's a dumb line. I don't think that's gonna help Becky one bit. You know, she doesn't have. Why would she be afraid of John Cena? When's the last time John Cena hit a girl? So why would she be up there in his face? It didn't make any sense. And then they end up tag teaming anyway, and she kind of stiff arms him. And this is not what you want. They're misinterpreting Becky Lynch's character again. And they're going to go down a path where fans are going to say, I'm tired of her now. I'm telling you, it's coming unless they walk that thin line. You got to balance this out. Every week she can't come out there with a scowl and say, I'm the man and I don't care. I'll beat everybody's ass. That's going to get old in 2 weeks. The very best way to handle Becky Lynch is to subtly let the fans understand that the same exact Becky Lynch that we remember is underneath this Becky Lynch. And that she is putting this forward because she knows if she lets her guard down for a moment and becomes weak in any way, shape, or form again, like she was, somebody's going to steal her spot. Because then we know eventually she's going to show that softer side because that's her nature. And someone is going to. And that's the Becky Lynch we want to root for. We want to root for that girl who we say she's got the chip on her shoulder now because you put it there. You kept putting it there, didn't you? You had to keep poking the bear and poking the bear and poking the bear. And finally, the bear woke up. But then when the bear wakes up and mauls the people who poked him, you don't want to see him go on a rampage and just randomly maul people. You know what I'm saying? You have to be careful with Becky Lynch because the WWE's track record of keeping people hot is very poor. Very poor. Abysmal. And I can see it already. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. As far as Raw is concerned, look, the whole episode hinged on those two things. There were a couple of more matches. We saw Ronda Rousey again, and then I'm so over the Nia Jax thing, I don't care. Okay, forgive me. I just don't care. I don't care about anything she does. I don't care about Nia Jax and Tamina. I just don't care. Another group I no longer care about is the Riot Squad, because there's absolutely no reason for me to care about the Riot Squad. They never, ever win. They have got to be the most ineffectual clique of heels in the history of the WWE, next to maybe 3MB. Talk a good game. They give a good fight. They never, ever win. Ever. Regardless of whether it's 3-on-1, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, or any combination thereof, they never win. So there is no reason for me to be worried about them. There is no reason for me to boo them, because at the end of the day, they're ineffectual and they do not win. Now, there's no reason in God's green earth that the Riot Squad should have lost to Bayley and Sasha and Ember Moon, particularly on this day, because you could have said, well, look, you know, Ember Moon's not used to tag teaming with them and they screwed up and the wrong, you know, it was not a good chemistry. The Riot Squad, they're used to all three of them teaming up. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean Bayley and Sasha aren't a great tag team. It just means that when we added that third person, there wasn't a gelling there. You told a story by which a team that constantly, supposedly, it never leaves each other's side, got beat by three people, two of which are friends, and the other one's just somebody they rounded up backstage. I don't necessarily think that's a great story to tell, Mike.
Right. That would be like putting somebody with a bar and having that Mr. X and the bar go against the New Day and them beating the New Day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know. We know how good the New Day is 2-on-2 with any two of those guys. We know that Bayley and Sasha are a really good tag team. We know how good any two of those three in the Riot Squad can be. We know how good supposedly they can be 3-on-3. Now, if you can find another three-man group, if Paige hadn't gotten hurt and Absolution was still around, that might be a thing we could have looked forward to, would be Absolution versus the Riot Squad, because then you'd have two three-man women's teams that they could absolutely have a feud with. But Paige, well, we know the history of that, but again, who cares right now about the Riot Squad? I mean,
and that's the problem. I know there are a couple of different philosophies when it comes to booking federations, but the philosophy I've always went with is you have to be heel strong. I think more people come to watch the good guy eventually triumph than they do watch ineffectual heels get beat up every week. In other words, if I'm going to watch a movie, let's take, I don't know if anybody's movie fans, but let me give you a really good example. If you ever watched the movie Under Siege with Steven Seagal, you knew that Steven Seagal, at the end of this movie, was going to be up against the wall, because Tommy Lee Jones' character was also a Navy SEAL and a tough guy, an assassin to a certain extent, and this was not going to be a cakewalk for Steven Seagal. So you had these two or three main bad guys who were very effectual and very deadly. So he felt like the underdog to a certain extent. Then you go to Under Siege 2, where the main bad guy is a computer nerd who couldn't fight Elvis Costello, and you're saying to yourself, okay, well, I'm sorry to tell you that this is not going to be a very good ending. What would you like this guy to do against Steven Seagal? So because there was no great bad guy in that movie, there was no great showdown. And because there was no great showdown, the movie was not as effectual as the first one. So when you don't have great heels, when you don't have a bad guy to finally get his comeuppance, because they've already got their comeuppance every single week. You're not likely to lay down your money to see it happen. You pick any soap opera, any long-running episodic TV show you want. And the episodes that everybody says, oh, my God, I can't wait to see this episode. I got to see this episode tonight. It's always going to be the episode where they think the main bad guy is going to get what's coming to him. Every time. Every time. So it's very easy writing, isn't it? But you got to have effectual heels. And right now, we do not have that in the women's division. There is none. You had Nia Jax for a while. She's now just getting beat on a regular basis, getting her ass kicked. Tamina hasn't won anything. The Riot Squad hasn't run anything. So who is your effectual female heels on Raw? I don't know of any. Every week Baron Corbin gets his ass kicked, so he's not an effectual heel. Drew McIntyre is an effectual heel, and that's about it on Raw. Dean Ambrose, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Bobby Lashley's not an effectual heel. He doesn't win anything. So it's tough. WWE's adopting the philosophy of we want to be face strong. Look at all the great faces you got on Raw. Braun Strowman, great face. Elias, great face. Seth Rollins, great face. Finn Balor, great face. And you got Drew McIntyre. You know, that's about it. Unless you want to count Brock Lesnar, I don't. So that makes it a little tougher. So overall, a quick grade on Raw. Look, it was a holiday show. It was taped. It still was better than most, if not all, of the previous holiday shows they did. Yes, both main events seemed to be very, very predictable, but they still were pretty well fought. They did use some of their roster a little bit better means. So for that reason, I'm going to give them a B-. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to give them a B- as well. You're absolutely right about effectual heels. You go back. I give you a good example. You go back and you watch the old Adam West Batman. Yeah, it was campy, and yeah, it was, you know, comedy, but you look at how they treated the bad guys, the Joker, the Penguin, all these guys, and you would see at the end of episodes, you know, Batman would be maybe hanging over a bat of oil or in some kind of predicament that the bad guys put him in that made those bad guys look like they were effectual bad guys. And you go back and you look at Hulk Hogan, who did he have to fight? He had to fight the one-man gang. He had to fight Roddy Piper. He had to fight
Andre.
Andre the Giant. Any number of guys who were under Bobby Heenan. You know, any number of guys who were under Bobby Heenan. All those guys, you know. Even to some extent, Butch Reed, you know. That type of person.
To use the Batman analogy even farther. Every single episode, you can watch these reruns. I watch them all the time now. Every single one of these episodes left you with, well, Batman and Robin are damn close to dead. And you knew damn well, they're not going to kill them or there wouldn't be a TV show. So the outcome wasn't in question. They were going to get away, but you didn't know how. And guess what? You tuned in. You tuned in. You said, well, I want to see how they get out of this. Well, there's your perfect philosophy. Wrestling can be somewhat predictable, but if at least it's interesting to see how it's going to happen, you're still going to tune in. You're still going to tune in. So, I mean, this is the problem. If you don't have any effectual heels whatsoever. Now, we're going to go over to SmackDown in a minute, and I do think they have a couple of effectual heels on SmackDown. But you have to have them, Todd. If you don't have a heel that fans take seriously as a threat, and you have an overwhelming amount of faces who fans know are superior, there never seems to be a major threat.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like Mike said, they don't have those kind of threats these days like back then. Like with Hogan, when he fought all these guys, the Warrior, he fought the Bobby Heenan camp, he fought. It's not like they used to be.
Let's make a much newer comparison. Avengers Infinity War. We all know none of those superheroes are dead. At the end of Infinity War, it would appear as though Thanos won, and there's a lot of superheroes he took with him. You know damn well that's not the case. But you're all going to flood to that movie theater to see how and why and who's going to be the one who overcomes Thanos, aren't you? Pay your money. It's going to be one of the top movies of all time as soon as it comes out, because everyone's going to say, can't wait to see how this gets resolved. Because the good guys didn't win at the end. Sometimes the good guys can't win at the end to set up a part two. Right now on Raw, I don't see where the good guys can't win. Bobby Lashley's totally ineffectual. He cannot beat Elias. Can't beat Seth Rollins. He apparently can't beat anybody without Leo Rush helping him. So he's become ineffectual. Baron Corbin has become just a punching bag. So he's totally ineffectual. Dean Ambrose, okay, he's got the belt, but the only person he's even fought besides Apollo Crews is Seth. So where's all these big bad heels that you say, who in the world is ever going to stop these guys? I don't know. I don't see them. In the meantime, I see a lot of faces. So let's move over to SmackDown. SmackDown saw the return of John Cena. We discussed that a bit. Cena and Becky Lynch fought Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. Decent match. Good to see Cena again, I guess. Wasn't big on the Becky Lynch promo, some of it. I am 100% not okay with the AJ Styles thing. Number one, always play a guy to his strength. Never play a guy to his weakness. AJ Styles has one weakness in this business, and only one that I can see, and that is he's not a good promo. Unless he's just speaking from the heart and saying, look, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to get in there. I'm, you know, this guy's tough, but I'm going to give it my all. He can do that. He can play the I'm a serious athlete. When he has to do the acting, he has trouble. And not for one moment did I believe him when he came in to see Vince and Shane and saying he's trying not to look at him and say, do you really want to see the AJ Styles? No. The answer is no, I don't want to see this AJ Styles. I just want to see AJ Styles, who's plenty good enough. There's no need to change him. There's no need to tweak his gimmick. There's no need to do anything. Just leave it alone. It's not broke. You don't need to fix it. So that part of it, I'm not too thrilled with, Mike, and we're going to get to another one I'm not. But let's go with AJ first. I don't mind if AJ becomes a little more aggressive, but you can't keep asking him to do these promos where he has to act more aggressive because he doesn't come off believable.
Right. The only way he can come off believable in that situation is if you're going to do what you did with him and the club, you know, where all they did was feed up John Cena. You know, they
right.
would say a couple of words here and there, but they would always end it up with beat up John Cena, you know, that type of thing. That's the only way you're going to have him be aggressive and have it come off being believable.
Well, here's the problem, Mike. See, if you want AJ to be a heel, which I don't think they do, but if you want him to be a heel, the only heel he can be is the smarmy, self-confident, cocky heel. Not the violent, oh, you want to see the fire in me heel. Well, wait a minute. Samoa Joe taunted him with his own family. That didn't bring out the fire in AJ Styles, but Vince McMahon slapping him will. We didn't see the fire inside AJ Styles' belly during the Samoa Joe feud where Samoa Joe went to his house and brought his children and family into it? That doesn't make it. But Vince McMahon slapping him, well, that did it. That doesn't make any sense at all, Mike. It makes zero sense.
It makes no sense at all, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I mean, and I mean, we'll get to some of the other stuff that, you know, was good or bad on Raw, on SmackDown, I mean, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And not only is it a poor way to do this, but it's a poor way of using Vince McMahon. If you're going to use Vince McMahon, use him in a smarter way, you know. There are better ways to use Vince McMahon than this.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of better ways to use someone, here we go with The Miz again. And this weird thing with The Miz and Shane McMahon, where now The Miz is saying, how about this outfit and how about that outfit? The Miz is one of those guys. He's the anti-AJ Styles to a certain extent. You could give The Miz anything to do. You could tell The Miz, we want you to dress up in a gorilla suit and throw bananas, and he'd find a way to make that okay. So he can do anything. He can do light comedy. He can do serious drama. He can do all that. He's an actor. But that doesn't mean it's the best use for him. And the way he's being used now doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And it's not The Miz I want to see necessarily. I don't need to see a buddy cop movie with, oh, The Miz is the wild, crazy one who's always coming up with the ideas, and Shane is the cool-headed one who's saying, you know, let's keep this under control here, Miz. Let's not get out of hand. No, The Miz is supposed to be the serious athlete here. The Miz's goal should be the belt and nothing but. Now, again, if this is all leading to, this is all just a plan by The Miz to beat the hell out of Shane to get the trophy, I'm okay with it. Because at the end, that will be The Miz we remember. But if this is legit and you're going to do a tag team or there's going to be like buddy cop movie, this is not going to work. It's not a good use of The Miz, and it's not even a good use of Shane. Because Shane comes off looking distracted and not really into it. And The Miz comes off as desperate and I need, you know, help. The Miz in reality should be saying Daniel Bryan is the champion. Remember when he said I can beat Daniel Bryan every single day of the week? Well, then where is The Miz now saying, wait a minute, Daniel Bryan's the champion? I have beaten Daniel Bryan to death. How many times? How many times have I pinned Daniel Bryan's shoulders to the mat? I should be the number one contender. Instead, he's running around asking Shane McMahon if the costumes are going to be okay, Todd, and that doesn't work for me.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I wouldn't have done that angle right there. I would have like reversed the roles, have The Miz do like the cool, calm cop there, and have Shane be like the wild and crazy one in a movie.
See, I wouldn't even do it at all because I just think The Miz right now, with Daniel Bryan as the champion, if you were going to keep AJ as the champion, I guess I could see you saying, look, we're going to branch The Miz out to do other things. But now that Daniel Bryan's the champion, you're asking fans, you're saying we there's a new era where we're going to treat the fans better. Well, the very first thing fans think of is, remember when The Miz had the big problem with Daniel Bryan? Well, now that Daniel Bryan's attitude has changed, I wonder how The Miz is going to feel about that. And the answer is, you're not going to find out because we're keeping them apart. The angles are going to be totally separate, and none of the two shall see each other. That's dumb. You've got a history there. The very first thought on The Miz's mind should be, hey, you know how many times I beat the champion? I want a shot. I want a shot at him. And what better differences could there be than Daniel Bryan saying, you know, everybody's living in excess and everybody's using too much goods and services and blah, 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 and doing the hippy-dippy thing and having some guy like The Miz who's the living embodiment of excess. It just doesn't make that much sense to me, Mike. And again, it isolates the fans because fans say, well, that wouldn't make any sense. If I were The Miz, see, you put yourself in the place of the wrestler and you say, wait a minute. If I were The Miz, the first thing I'd say is, hey, Daniel Bryan's the champion. I want a shot.
Right, and look, to use your buddy cop movie, yeah, on that issue, yes, 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 yes. But on the buddy cop movie thing, they're trying to play it like you said. I'll put it to you this way: like Lethal Weapon. What was Lethal Weapon? Lethal Weapon was this guy, this crazy ex, I guess, special forces guy, and this veteran cop got paired up together. You know,
right?
And he, yeah, he knew his, what's his name, knew his stuff, but he was this crazy ex-cop. You could pull that off. You could pull that off with, like, a Dean Ambrose, you know.
Right.
In fact, that's what made Dean, the team of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins such a good team, is that's exactly what that is. Dean Ambrose is that crazy ex-cop, and what's his name is that architect. He's a smart guy.
Right.
He's a veteran guy, and he can get the job done. That's what made that so good. That's not what this is with that's not what they should. That's not how they should be playing. In fact, they shouldn't even be playing this whole thing with them wanting to be a tag team. It should be all about the trophy. You know.
I agree with you, because what's happening now is it's making Shane McMahon look like I'm the superior worker. You're begging me to help you because you need my help to succeed in this business. I really don't have the time because I'm much too important and I'm much more superior than you, but maybe I'll be a nice guy and help you out. Wow, this is the Miz. How many times has he been champion? How many times has Shane been champion? If anything, it should have been reversed, because Shane would be like, well, I could never do this without a qualified partner. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me that the Miz would be begging at the doorstep of Shane McMahon, you're the one I need. Why? The Miz is supposed to be a very cunning and smart man. And a very cunning and smart man would say, look, part-timer at best. You won that trophy out of sheer luck. That's why I'm hoping it's a bluff and the Miz is going to turn on him. Because if it isn't, this whole storyline blows. Totally blows. Now, as far as Rusev is concerned, he looks genuinely happy to be the U.S. champion. The fans look genuinely happy to have him as the U.S. champion. And I was actually kind of genuinely happy to see logic prevail here, and not only does Shinsuke Nakamura attack Rusev, but logically speaking, if your wife is a combat sport athlete, and that's Lana's supposed to be, she would probably try to help her husband, I would imagine, if he's being attacked. So to see her jump on Nakamura's back, I'm saying, okay, great. That makes good sense. Now, I'm really hoping Nakamura flips her off, but I know they got to be careful with that. I understand that in this PG world, you can't have Nakamura flip her off. I get it. Trust me. But for a half a second, I was like, man, they're going to do it. Nakamura's just going to flip her off, and that's going to make Rusev irate that he would flip his wife off and crash her to the canvas. Instead, Rusev gives him the Machka kick with his wife on the shoulders of Nakamura, and she falls. And Nakamura takes advantage of it, which is fine. It's an okay angle because it's the only thing you can do. If the WWE is dead set against, there is no way on heaven and earth that we will let Nakamura flip Lana off his shoulders. Okay. I guess I get it. So the next best backup plan is Rusev accidentally does it, but it makes Rusev look kind of stupid, because if you can't see your wife is on the back of a man you're kicking. But okay. At least it furthers the feud. And this is probably something better than Nakamura's gotten in a long time. Nakamura as the champion was totally ineffectual. He had no feuds. He did nothing well. He wasn't on the show 90% of the time. And when he was just an excuse for Randy Orton to interfere and so he could have a feud with somebody. So it's good to see Nakamura actually get a feud. And for whatever bizarre reason, Nakamura, who you would think would totally clash style-wise with Rusev, works really well together. Two guys work really well together. Their match was very, very good for the U.S. belt. And I imagine they could probably do better than that, given more time. So this could be good. So this I thought was a positive, Mike. It's an example of giving the fans what they want. I mean, they did give him Rusev as champion. He's doing the Rusev Day USA thing. It seems to be working. Now they just got to make sure that they give the fans the second part of what they want, which is a really good series of matches with Nakamura.
Right. And if you want to go ahead and throw in somehow Aiden English doing something either to cost him or help him, I'm fine with that as well. But, hey, did you catch what Lana did? She didn't just get up on there and try to beat on him. She actually tried to put a sleeper hold on him.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
You know, that was them not only – I mean, I would have loved to have seen – because that's really how you – you know, that's really how they decide to get people out of the sleeper hold is they flip them, you know, they have the guy that's in the hole flip the other guy, and that's what should have happened. But I get why they didn't want to do that. But, again – I mean, she's supposedly an athlete. She's supposedly a person that can, you know, take bumps. Why not?
See, here's my trouble, Mike. And, you know, I'm sure this is politically incorrect, but here's my trouble. If on the same show you're going to have Becky Lynch get in John Cena's face and say, "I will drop you," how come you can't have Nakamura drop? So let me get this straight. The women can threaten the men, but the men can't threaten or hit the women. That's not equality. You know what I mean? So all the people who are saying, "Oh, no, no, you can't do that. That's promoting violence to women." Well, no. These are athletes. This is not somebody grabbed a girl out of the audience and beat her. Okay, these are supposed to be professional athletes. And yes, I know one's women, one's men. But wait a minute. I thought there was equality here. So a woman can attack a man if she's a professional athlete, and we got to swallow it, but a man can't flip the woman off and have her land on the ground. He would have gotten so much heat to the ground, and it's only a mat. He doesn't have to stomp her. He doesn't have to chop her. He doesn't have to kick her. But remember when Roddy Piper did? Remember when Roddy Piper beat the hell out of Cyndi Lauper and then said, "Listen, if a woman attacks me, I'm knocking her out." That's exactly what he said. He said it on MTV. Those were the days when you could get some heat. I mean, you want Nakamura to get some heat? You want there to be a nuclear heat? How about Nakamura gave the Kinshasa to Lana? Holy mackerel, would there be heat? Yes, and I know busybodies would call up the sponsors and say, "I'm not going to buy M&Ms because..." Why are you watching wrestling? See, that's what annoys me the most. Then just don't watch. There's a lot of things that offend me, and I just don't watch it. But I don't insist that it change so that I can watch it. Now, Nakamura still got some heat. Nothing like the heat he could have got if the world wasn't so politically correct. And again, Nakamura didn't have to touch her. He could have just flipped her off. I mean, what would you do? There's a woman on your shoulders, and she's someone who was in a women's battle royal. She can't take a slam to the mat? What's the difference whether she falls off Nakamura's shoulders at 6 foot tall or Nia Jax's shoulders at 6 foot tall? So, yeah, I wish that had happened, Mike, but I guess I understand why they don't want it to.
You know, we talked about this before, about 6 or 8 months ago, when the Bludgeon Brothers were hot and they were doing their thing against the Usos. And Naomi comes out there. And I said, look, what they should have done is had one of those two guys pick her up and throw her over into the crowd. you know? Yep. And that would have got those two guys nuclear heat. Or if you wanted to do, I mean, imagine, you know, we're looking at Lana and what's his name? He's only 6 feet tall. Both of those two Bludgeon brothers are what? 165 and the other one 6'8", right?
Yeah,
and
about.
Imagine if what's her name, Naomi gets on one of those two guys' backs and they flip her over, you know?
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. If you're not allowed to get any heat, I mean, really, the heat should be at Rusev. Why are you throwing a kick at a man who has your wife on his shoulders? You didn't see her? Because she's pretty obvious. She's pretty easy to see. You know? Would have been far better if they just said, no, Nakamura, just flip her off. Flip her off and pretend you're going to go for the Kinshasa and have Rusev jump in front of her and get hit. Wouldn't that have been way better? Because then you could have had Corey Graves say he had no intention of hitting Lana. He knew that Rusev would jump in front. And the other people could have said, how do you know? He might have actually gave it to Lana. You would have got heat that way. Dad, it makes Rusev look kind of foolish, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it does make him a little foolish there. And I think it was better to do it that way than flipping Lana off of Nakamura.
Yeah, this is what I would have booked. That's exactly what I would have booked. That she gets off his shoulders or gets flipped off his shoulders. He sets up for the Kinshasa and Rusev jumps in front and takes it for Lana. Works for me. Anyway, then we're getting this weird thing. And see, here we go again with the WWE and weird stuff. You have a girl who basically says, I'm going to knock you out to a man. You have a man who, even though he's a bad guy, will not fight back against a woman. And then you have a woman who basically is apparently sending nude selfies and trying to pick up somebody else's husband. And this is now beginning to look like divas again and not female wrestlers. You know what I mean? Workers. You have to be careful with this. Storylines are great. But let's walk a thin line here. When's the last time we saw a storyline where a male wrestler sent a nude photograph to a female worker who was married to somebody? We haven't seen them. So now, once again, it's all down to jealous girls. You know what I mean? And that could be misinterpreted by people who say, I thought you were serious about women's wrestling, and now it's all down to jealousy, and I'm, you know, tear your hair out because you looked at my husband. So you have to be careful about that, too. Now, apparently Mandy Rose is due for a big push. That's fine. But if she's due for a big push, let's not make it a push based upon the fact that she's trying to steal somebody else's husband. Now, maybe this is just to get under Naomi's skin. That's very possible. Maybe they'll augment this gimmick a little bit as time goes by. But my first initial reaction to it is this is a old Divas gimmick and not a modern gimmick, Mike.
Right. And it's an old Divas gimmick and it's not a modern gimmick. And look, at least we know one thing. The match should be a good match, and at least one of those two girls, we know they got a tight rein on Naomi when she has the microphone. She's a good performer, but we know what her weakness is. Her weakness
yep.
is she's not particularly good on the mic. Whereas you look at Mandy Rose, she's very good on the mic, you know. So she can sell a fight, and she's decent enough in the ring. Now, she's not the athlete that Naomi is, but I'm interested in this match. Now, them getting to the match, you know, but I'm interested in the match.
Well, we'll see what happens. At very least, it's fleshing out some characters, which is better than nothing, I suppose. Just I want to caution the WWE. Just walk very carefully when you're fleshing out these characters. Make sure you really want to go where you're going before you do it. Because going back hurts sometimes. Just make sure you know where you're going with it. Have the end game before you start. You know what I mean? Don't fly by the seat of your pants and say, let's see how this works. And I don't have any end game to the, no, you have to have an end game to it. You have to say the reason we're doing this is this. And maybe we have two options. If the fans really hate this, we'll make it very clear. She has no interest in her husband. She was just trying to get under her skin. If the fans like this, then we can work something else through it. Have a way out, but have a couple of branches on the tree, not just one, just in case it's not working. So look, SmackDown was what it was. I don't think it was any better than Raw, really. I mean, initially the reports I got from the people who were there live was SmackDown was better than Raw. I don't necessarily agree with that this week. I think the match for the number one contendership was decent, but I don't think it equaled Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler in the cage. And I think AJ Styles got undermined a little bit. I think John Cena coming back was a big thing, obviously. But, I mean, come on. At some point, how many times are you going to come back before it becomes sort of irrelevant? Rey Mysterio is already irrelevant. This is what I mean about losing interest. You get a guy like Rey Mysterio back in the Federation, you've already lost interest. Fans have already lost interest in Rey. They've already lost interest in the Randy Orton character. They've already lost interest in the Jeff Hardy Samoa Joe feud. You're not able to maintain interest in these characters, and that's your fault as writers. It's not their fault. It's your fault because you're not telling a story that's compelling enough for us to continue to want to follow. Hell, there are storylines that run for a whole season on TV of different TV shows, and the storyline doesn't change that much. It, from episode one to the last episode, it progresses, but it's the same basic conflict. You change them weekly, and we're still getting bored. So you gotta be careful. You got to do a better job there, WWE, of getting the fans to really buy into a feud, really buy into a character, and stay focused on them. Don't say, okay, well, we got Randy Orton over for a pay-per-view. Now it's on to the next guy. No, keep it going. All right, we got this guy over for a couple of weeks, and now on to the next guy. No, keep them going. The Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy feud had potential where it was going. And he basically just wrapped it all up now, and it's like, oh, that's a big deal. Well, it could have been more than that. You could have got a lot more out of it. So I'm going to give SmackDown a C+. I don't think it was a lot worse, but I think it was a little bit worse than Raw, Mike. What's your thought?
I'm going to give it a C+ as well. And look, you're starting on both shows, you're starting to flesh out characters. Don't screw that up. I mean, you're starting to flesh out a little bit with the B team and Rhino and Slater. You're starting to flesh that out. Don't screw that up. Keep it up, but finesse it a little bit, but keep it up because we're enjoying that. I mean, this thing with him with Nakamura chasing Rusev, that could be something big. You know, that could be something big. And them putting Lana in the middle of it the way they did could be something even bigger. Don't mess it up. Don't screw things up.
I 100% agree with you. However, if I were a booker and I'm looking at someone like Mandy Rose and I'm saying we want Mandy Rose because she's so beautiful to be the type of girl who says I can get any man I want to and I'm going to cherry pick and really aggravate these women, I would have waited, I think, and I might have done this with Rusev, and I'll tell you why I would have done it with Rusev is because fans would have sided with Lana saying she's just as pretty. That's number one. And that Rusev and Lana have been more shown to be closer unit. They work together all the time, unlike Uso and Naomi. And three, you could have brought Aiden English into this and said Aiden English kind of prompted her to do that or something. You know what I mean? And isn't it Rusev was always calling himself handsome and saying, you know, my beard is wonderful and all this. So it would kind of make some sense. I would have waited on that. I know they want to promote the girls. If you want to promote the girls, there's plenty to promote with Naomi. I'd have rather seen Naomi and Sonya Deville get into it. I think that would have been a really good fight. But look, I'm going to give you some effort for at least fleshing out the characters. I do think that's a plus, Todd.
Like you said, for Monday Night Raw, I didn't get my rating on that. I'm going to give it a C minus, and I'm going to go with you on this one. Also a C minus.
Okay, so you think they're about even? Okay, I think Raw is a little better than SmackDown, but some people don't. It was predictable. Raw was predictable. I do think SmackDown was a bit predictable too, though. Not that that's always a bad thing. If it's okay to pretty much know what the outcome is, as long as you're looking forward to the conclusion. But then that's the thing. You've got to make the viewer look forward to that conclusion. We always know the outcome of Batman and Robin was that Batman and Robin would get away from the trap and get the villain. But we look forward to the conclusion. We always know at the beginning of a James Bond movie, James Bond's not dying. But we look forward to the conclusion. So it's not always about not knowing the conclusion. Sometimes it's just about the story you tell and looking forward to the conclusion that we know inevitably is going to come. Now let's get on to AEW for just a moment. AEW made their announcement. It's a little bit anticlimactic, to be honest with you, because AEW, and specifically Cody Rhodes, had said this is much bigger than anyone's ever anticipated. The announcement's going to be much bigger. In reality, the announcement is not much bigger. It's exactly what I said it was probably going to be, and that is we're having another pay-per-view. Double or nothing. And they did announce, of course, AEW. They showed the logo, and they're going to be an active federation. And they have, I guess, assigned roles to everybody. Who's going to be executive producer, and who's going to do this, and who's going to do that. And much as we had said, the Khan family, specifically one of them at least, is involved. And my sources tell me initially is putting up $100 million. $100 million. That's a lot of money. I don't care if Mickey Mouse is running the Federation. That's a lot of money to throw around. So that instantly makes you a viable contender. If you've got $100 million to toss around, you would almost have to be inept not to come out with something good. And I don't believe Cody Rhodes is inept. So I do think something good's going to come out of this. Now, they've hinted that they have some TV interest, and TBS and TNN has been at the top of it. I know Access TV's been at the top of it. They haven't made any of those announcements, but Tuesday, I guess, in Florida, they're having some kind of a rally right in a street adjacent to where they're going to be holding SmackDown. And maybe they're going to make some more announcements at that rally. I don't know. I do know they're poking the bear. There is no doubt about it. They did this before. They held a parking lot thing. This time they're saying, oh, that's much more serious. We're having a real event, and it's a real venue. And yeah, but you're also doing it the same day that SmackDown's just right down the street. So you are poking the bear, and you're doing it on purpose. So you are actively saying, hey, fans, hey, WWE fans, give us a chance. You're not happy with what you're seeing? Come watch us. And Cody Rhodes, one of the things he said in his speech was, our philosophy is as follows. Very simple. Fans first. He made that very clear and very evident. Fans first. And said, this is the philosophy everyone who wrestles for us is going to have. Fans first. Now, whether that's true or not, who the hell knows? But that sounds damn good to fans, okay? And what you're doing is you're trying to create goodwill with fans and saying, look, you guys are number one. You're the reason we're doing this. You're the person we have to please, and you're the person we are going to seek to please. And rumors of course, Kenny Omega and many others signing with AEW is running rampant. I don't know exactly who they have. We know they certainly have Cody. They certainly have Brandi Rhodes. They certainly have the Young Bucks. I would imagine they have Marty Scurll and the Hangman Page. And, you know, I wouldn't surprise me if they have Kenny Omega. The big Wrestle Kingdom is tonight, is it? And a lot of these guys are finishing up with New Japan. This could be very serious. The WWE better take this very serious. Because if you delve into the net worth of the McMahon family, and you delve into the net worth of the Khan family, it's not close. It's not close. Billions, tens of billions of dollars separate them in favor of the Khan family, which means they have all the money in the world to compete with the WWE if they choose to do so. If their central focus is, let's get the WWE out of the picture, no matter what we got to do or what we have to spend, and go on from there, well, that's exactly what Ted Turner wouldn't do. Ted Turner was not willing to risk his finances past a certain point to run Vince McMahon out of business. And the truth of the matter is, if he were, he probably would have. I don't know what Khan is willing to do, but he's willing to put up $100 million from what I hear, and that's a damn good start. And if he's worth the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions that he seems to be, another few hundred million ain't going to hurt either. And with that kind of money and a decent TV deal, the only thing that would wreck you is if you can't successfully write a wrestling program. If you say, no, we are not able to get these guys over. The fans are not interested in these guys. And that seems unlikely, because even if they're not experts at it, the WWE is not doing a very good job either. And what this does do is it gives disgruntled WWE guys another option. Guys who are saying, look, I'm unhappy, but I guess I'll stay because I'm making good money. So I just make every bit as much money. Maybe.